Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 27 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation and the Internet of Things become even more innovative. Today's guest, and I'm very excited to have him here with me, is David Jennings from Melbourne SEO Services and Melbourne Video Productions. David has been an entrepreneur from a very young age, beginning with trading on the stock markets when he was still at school. Through starting and running several businesses, he has learned that systemizing as much as possible in the business can free up time and allow creative space to be much more strategic in the business, as well as add value to the business, because the business can run independently of him and people can actually do the various roles and processes by following the systems. We spoke today about things as diverse as selling the MCG, which David's actually done. MCG is one of Australia's biggest sporting arenas, by the way. We also spoke about how a business can build processes within their business in an effective and an efficient way. This is another fascinating interview, so stay tuned. This podcast, as always, is sponsored by InnovaBiz, where we help smart, innovative, growth-focused business owners grow their business by making their websites achieve more. Of course, at InnovaBiz, we do more than just build websites. We provide solutions to our clients' needs by leveraging the power of the internet in innovative ways. If you want to learn more, then go to innovabiz.com.au or contact me directly through the contact information there. Before we meet David, a quick competition announcement. This week's competition prize has been very generously donated by David, and it is a six-month complimentary subscription to System Hub, which is a home for your business processes, checklists, and smart operating procedures. So stick around for details on how you can enter the draw to win that competition prize later on in the interview. Now, let's go to the Innovation Hive and get the buzz from David Jennings.
This is the InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to have here with me today on today's episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast from Melbourne in Australia, David Jennings of Melbourne SEO Services and Melbourne Video Productions. David, welcome. It's a privilege to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Jürgen. Yeah, really looking forward to this podcast episode.
Yeah, that's great. Now, David has a fascinating background. We'll hear a little bit more about that. He's a serial entrepreneur. I'm really excited to have him here because we're going to explore a lot about what drives him and how he kind of builds those serial entrepreneurial initiatives into working businesses. So looking forward to hear about that. Now, before we talk to David about all those things, a quick competition announcement. David's very kindly offered to sponsor a 6 months free access to a program called System Hub, which we'll learn a lot more about on today's episode. So stay tuned later on in the episode to find out how you can enter the draw to win that competition. All right, so David, before we start talking about internet marketing and building businesses and systems and all that kind of stuff, let's find out a little bit more about you as a person. So tell us, when you were a child, what did you actually have as the thing that you wanted to do when you grew up?
Yeah, the very first memory that I have was to be a chef. Mm. And I don't know where it came from, but I always enjoyed cooking. I think it's the creative side in me. I think cooking is really creative and just enjoyed making people happy. And
okay, so were you cooking as a kid?
Yeah, I used to love cooking for the family. And
That's great.
It's something that I've probably not really kept up with and feel like I've deviated in a very different direction, but that's definitely where I first thought I'd grow into.
Yeah, and when did you decide that wasn't what you were going to do as a profession?
I think probably when I was leaving school. I think in my final year, year 12, that's when I started to think, well, what am I going to do now? And I really wanted to just make a whole bunch of money. So I thought I'd go where the money was, which I thought was the stock market. Yeah. So I kind of headed in a very different direction.
Yeah, well, that's a fascinating story because I sort of played a little bit in the stocks. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think I was in year 12 and a friend of mine, we were sitting in maths class up the back of the room, and he was telling me how much money he was making while we were sitting in the room, because that was back in 99, so there was the boom at that point, yeah. That's right, dot-com bubble, and he was writing it on the way up, and I thought, oh, this seems a little bit too good to be true. Obviously, he was just telling me about all of his winners and not necessarily his losers. But that's, yeah, when I came to the end, I thought, well, why am I going to go to university for the next 4 years, 6 years to learn something and then only finally make money perhaps after that? So that's when I really got interested in the stock market.
So, and you then did some study in that area and became a full-time trader, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, yep. I was working at a supermarket at the time, stacking shelves and living with my mum in a two-bedroom flat, and I took out a $5,000 loan and went and did one of those weekend share trading courses where they teach you to make $1 million over a weekend. And I very quickly learned that to trade on the stock market, you also needed to have some money. And I was just stacking shelves trying to pay back that loan, and that's when I recognized, well, hang on, trading is a fantastic vehicle for growing wealth, but you still need to have a base. Mm. And that kind of brought me back to ground zero, I suppose. And I thought about, okay, well, how can I find a product that I can sell that people would be interested in buying? And then that was kind of my stepping stone into sort of marketing and heading a bit more down that entrepreneurial avenue.
Okay. And one of the things I'm sure with trading, because trading, you've got to have a good system, right? And and so I'm sure that was, if you hadn't already gone down that track, that was one area where you started to develop systems for doing things.
Exactly right. I mean, that's probably where my first programming came from, around the importance of systems. Looking at trading systems, they work almost like a business plan, but it's a plan for the way that you trade the market, and you do all the thinking up front, and you have a predefined set of rules that define when you get in, when you get out, what position size do you take, and you do all that thinking up front so that when you're in the moment, your emotions don't take over.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing with trading and business. You can get really emotional when time and money is linked into something. And if you've done all the pre-thinking before and you've got a plan, it makes it much easier to just follow the plan and replicate positive results.
Mm. So I know you then started a couple of little ventures while you were still working at the supermarket, as well as doing the share trading. So tell us a little bit about the journey.
Yeah, so while I was stacking those shelves, that's really when my entrepreneurial juices started to get going, and I did sort of start learning as much as I could about the stock market, and started reading as many different books as I could. And I happened to read a book by a gentleman who was telling a story about a guy who sold the Brooklyn Bridge in the US.
Yeah.
And basically what he did was the Brooklyn Bridge was getting renovated, and he got all the discarded wood, chopped it up into pieces, and then sold it off as memorabilia for the Brooklyn Bridge. And at the time I was reading this story, and the MCG, Melbourne Cricket Ground, very well known sporting stadium here in Australia, was getting renovated on the Ponsford stand, and I effectively replicated that. I got a lot of the discarded wood and sold off the MCG. Since then, I mean, that was probably my first leg up into that serial entrepreneur. I started getting involved in a lot of different things. We, after doing the stock market education stuff and recognizing that I needed to actually have some money to trade the stock market, a friend and I got together and we wrote a home study course on a particular charting package that our trading community was using, and that was the first product that we sold, and got really good reception with our immediate community. But then beyond that, I wanted to get the message out further, and that's when I suppose I picked up a bit of a passion for marketing and online marketing, long form sales copy, all of that sort of ways to have a great product and then get the message out there. And then over the years, I mean, it's just really evolved. When I look back and I look at all the different projects that we worked on, they from a distance, they feel a little bit disjointed, but I see this logical progression, because after the stock market education stuff, then I built up a good team and a very good skill set around online marketing. Mm. And that's when we set up Melbourne SEO Services and more recently Melbourne Video Production, which was basically off the back of all of the different marketing techniques and strategies that we'd used in that stock market niche. So it's kind of like this evolution. And most recently, which is what you referenced at the start, was with System Hub. That's one element that I've now recognized looking back across all of the businesses I've been involved in, because I just named a few there. We've had the rock and roll clothing music store in there as well. But all of them were founded on this idea of systems and processes. I'm very good at figuring out what makes a business tick and then documenting those processes so that other team members can kind of step in. And we had a very big breakthrough with Melbourne SEO Services and Melbourne Video Production, where we completely systemized what we've done and brought in some team members, which really helped to free me up from the day-to-day operations so I could start to work on the business rather than in the business. And that's what's got me so excited now about what we're doing with System Hub, which is a way for businesses to basically document their standard operating procedures.
A really interesting story, and I think one of the things, we'll get back to System Hub in a moment, but I think one of the really interesting things for me is looking at business, whether it's trading the stock market or whether it's even stacking products on a supermarket shelf. You're probably systemizing that, but I know when I was at university, I was working it was with Dulux in their paint storage area. So we were stacking stuff in their warehouse ready for dispatch. And they had this, it was all paper in those days, so you had all these paper forms and slips that had to be handed off and so on. And I very quickly figured out what's that system and how can you maximize the time, because we're on a bonus system, so that, you know, the more you did, the more you got paid. And I very quickly figured out that it wasn't about working harder, it was about figuring out how the system worked and working the system. So essentially that's what you've done here, isn't it? You've kind of taken the core systems that drive the business and said, you know, that can be transferred into another business, and you've built up several, and now you're taking that and saying, well, you can help people systemize their business as well and document things properly, which is where System Hub is.
Yeah, there's a few core processes and procedures that all businesses operate on, no matter what industry that they're in. Initially, I got really strong with our marketing systems and the way that we'd market a business online. And over time, there are other areas that have kind of popped up. We've been really strong with the way that we recruit staff as well. We've got a particular system we follow for recruitment and onboarding of both clients and staff as well. And some financial systems as well with my stock market background. And I've kind of just over the years started collecting the best of these systems and then almost putting them into a database. So when I'm working on a business, we try and identify which parts of the business are broken or need most attention, and you apply a system to that area to solve the problem. And then you just work your way down, putting out the fires and putting a system in place. And just like you rightly spotted earlier, the good thing about a system, like I think once you figure out the way that the system works and you're conscious of trying to improve it, everything only seems to get more and more optimized. Step one is just getting something down, and that gives you the visibility to know what's going on and some form of measurement. And then if the aim of the game is, well, how do we get the best output by doing this process, you just continually optimize and improve. So it's it's been a really interesting journey to date.
Mm. So tell us a little bit then about System Hub and what makes it different to something else where people might document systems.
Yeah, so when we recognized that systems were so important, we started using some different tools to try and capture them. We used Dropbox. That was probably one of the more well-known ones. We just saved our systems in Word documents and text files and save them into Dropbox. We quickly came against some different challenges with that, with regards to things like permissions, who could see what and who could edit what, and accidentally deleting or uploading things that they shouldn't. And then we started going, okay, well, if that's not going to work, let's try something like Google Apps, which we tried for a little while there, which didn't really solve our problem, because we needed a central place to store all of these systems. We needed team members to only see the systems that were relevant to them, and you know, someone in marketing didn't necessarily need to see all of the financial systems. Certain people would have certain levels of access, like some people should just be able to view, while others should be able to improve or change systems and edit them. So when we looked at Google Apps and looked at Google Sites, one of the biggest problems was it wasn't designed specifically for this purpose, and it was almost like you were trying to hack together a system to do a specific function that wasn't necessarily designed to do that. And then we tried a few others and just couldn't find a solution that enabled us to house a business's standard operating procedures in one place, make it very easy to use and have it easy to control the access for what people could see. So that's why we ended up basically designing our own, and that's what System Hub is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's and having played with it a little bit, so I'm sort of one of the beta testers, it certainly is very exciting development. Tell us a little bit about, because you kind of start off with a system for developing systems or processes, and I find that fascinating, because a lot of people that maybe haven't embraced this yet, and I remember when I was in the corporate world in a research department, a lot of people there said, no, you can't have a system or a process for doing research because it's a creative process, and we actually developed one. But you know, I was always saying to people, well, whether you have a system or not, or a process or not, you actually do have a process. It's just whether it's broken or not, because you're doing things and there are certain steps you take in sequence. So tell us a little bit about the, you know, process for or system for writing systems or processes.
Yeah, well, that ends up being the first system that any business should put in place. The big thing about systems is making sure that they're uniform and they have a set flow and structure, so that when any team member starts, every system they kind of just get, because it follows the process of having an overview that explains what the system's about, then having the main bullet points listed out of what needs to be done to do a particular task. And then underneath those bullets, you might have some sub-bullets that give very specifics about each step. So just the way that structure is set up, and you know, at the end of a system, you might have some sort of review process that gets the person doing the task to be able to go, well, have I actually achieved and met what this the objectives or the output that this system should be creating? So once you kind of got that structure, and you want all your systems to follow that process, it makes logical sense that you create a system to create systems. And if you start with that system first, it makes it very easy for you to share with other team members and make sure that they all follow the same process. I think that's why it's sort of the most important system that you can have in place. And as a business owner, a lot of business owners get stuck in the day-to-day and they find it hard to find the space to create systems. Whereas by using a system for systems, and if that's the first system you put in place, it makes it much easier to delegate certain responsibilities of development of systems down the line to different team members, knowing that they're going to follow a process for the way that they develop those processes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember, and I'm not sure, I think you were one of the people that suggested this, and I started doing it fairly early on.
There we go. Sorry, dropped out for a second there.
Oh, okay. You were one of the people that I think suggested this to me fairly early on in my business. I started doing screencast videos of certain things that I set up and basically use that as the basis for the processes. So the idea, and I love the idea, and it was, I think you mentioned this at the seminar recently we were at, how can I... What was it? How can I do this so I don't have to do it again?
Yeah.
Or words to that effect.
I think sticking that underneath your laptop, you know, if I'm going to do something, how can I make sure this is the last time that I ever have to do it?
Yeah.
Sticking it on your laptop or next to your monitor just gets you to constantly think about recording what it is that you're doing. And the easiest way to do it so that it doesn't disrupt your flow is just while you're doing the task, using something like a ScreenFlow or a Camtasia, depending on if you're on a Mac or a PC, and just record yourself doing the task, then that becomes version one of the system. You upload that into System Hub or however you're documenting your systems, and then you assign to a team member to follow the system for systems and bullet point out the main steps in the process that you've identified in the video. So yeah. It's a really good way to kind of free up and make sure that you can document your systems without necessarily having to do it yourself.
Yeah, that's right. And what I really like about System Hub is that there's a kind of a social element to it. So one of the things in that whole process that you've described then is getting somebody else to do the process, and they'll then say, oh, this bit doesn't make sense because you've made a logical jump in your mind and you haven't actually documented or recorded that on the video. So they'll point that out and I'll say, this bit doesn't make sense, or I don't understand how I get from C to D. And then within Process Hub, there's the ability to actually suggest improvements and even vote on improvements and so on.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the biggest thing, I'm just going to jump into another room here. One of the biggest things with systems and where you get the most benefit from systems is where they improve. Like a lot of people, if they have decided the idea that, yep, systems are important and they might have even in their business, usually there might be one or two team members that are driving that initiative, and they're the only ones that understand how to do the tool or suggest system improvements. But where systems really come alive is when it becomes part of the culture and other team members help with the improvement of systems as they're doing it. Because, you know, processes and procedures and ways to optimize change as different tools change, and as people do things, they figure out better ways to do it. So if you enable them to improve it as they go, you look back, you get the basic processes and procedures down, and then you might look back in 3 years' time once, you know, things have been continually optimized and improved, and then you've really developed an effective way to do a particular task.
Mm, that's right. And yeah, that helps also with building and maintaining best practice then, like you say, as technology evolves and people learn new skills, you can upgrade the systems as well.
Yeah, I think and that's the most valuable asset within a business is the way that you do things. So when you're valuing a business, looking to sell a business or gain funding, if you have the documented processes and procedures, you know, the 11 secret herbs and spices, the way that you do what it is that you do, that's where the value is. And it means that you can continue to deliver value to your clients whether you're there or not, because team members are just following the process to deliver value.
That's right. So it frees up the business owner's time to do whatever they want to do. So they might, I mean, for example, I took June off and had a holiday and essentially let the business run itself, which worked okay, even though I wouldn't say our systems are perfect, but it worked quite well. And like you say, the ultimate one is to actually sell the business.
Because yeah. I think even taking that break, that is a fantastic way to also spot areas that need to be developed. Because right. You kind of you come back and you realize where the fires started up.
It's broken, yeah.
And then you don't the best thing to do then is you just address the system. It's a good mindset shift as a business owner to basically put all of the responsibilities back on the system. So if an issue arises, it's not the fault of a team member or something like that. It always comes back to the system. Unless the unless you have a system in place and the team members haven't been following it, then that's another issue. But assuming that you've got good team members that, that at least follow the process, any mistake that you ever have, you just think of it in terms of, well, this will be the last time we have that mistake because we'll improve the systems and it won't happen again. And yeah, it's reassuring for the rest of the team as well, because it lets them know how to deliver a great product and service and have something that they can reference so that they know how to deliver to that standard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. So what do you spend your time on actually doing day to day then? So you've got all these businesses running on systems, and you're telling me before we started the podcast recording that you're really busy.
Yeah, well, I know it could be freeing me up to lie on the beaches, but I find in business it's almost like it's a vacuum situation where if you create space in something, it tends to get filled with something else. So as the business owner, where I see I add the most value is carving out new initiatives for the business and spearheading new projects and thinking about the direction that we're headed. So there's a few things I'll get involved in. I see staff recruitment as a very important role for me, because I want to make sure we're getting the right team members. So I still play a hand in that. Mm-hmm. And then by not being involved in the day-to-day operations as much with, let's say, Melbourne SEO or Melbourne Video, that's what's freed me up then to have a look at starting something like System Hub. Or we're looking at I've got a book that I'm coming out with in the not too distant future. So it's it gets me working on new initiatives that really need to be I need to pave the way first, and then the team members can step in behind me. But I think that's what I do as the CEO, is really kind of figure out which direction that we're headed and make those strategic thinking. And sometimes when you're just doing the day-to-day and you're caught in everything, it's very hard to get visibility to make those right decisions. I think that was another good thing I found. By freeing myself up, it gave me more space to think, which then enabled me to operate more strategically as we're growing the business.
Mm. Yeah, and again, that's a great benefit to be able to have systems in place that allow you to step out and take that big picture view and make the time to do that. So, so a book coming out soon. That's exciting. What's that going to be about?
That one? Well, I've got two books in me that I know of. Yeah. The first book is around documenting effectively what we did for our marketing strategy. Yeah. So our marketing strategy is a method we call authority content. And I'm obviously very particular with systems. So it's the same marketing strategy that we've used to launch probably the last three or four different businesses, and we've really honed it down, and now I'm turning that methodology into a book. And then the other book that I'm just starting to work on is a book around systems, because I think kind of just getting the thinking around the way that we apply the systems, because now that we're in it and we've done it, I need to almost look back and think logically, well, what was the first step we took in applying these systems, and trying to effectively create a system for applying systems.
Mm. All right. So it sounds like you're really busy with a whole lot of other things, but that the businesses are running along nicely. Is there something that worries you and keeps you awake at night?
Biggest thing keeping me awake right now is our 9-month-old baby. But the other thing that keeps me awake, really, the main thing with the business is it's team members. Like, as I build a team, I recognize, or build a business, I've recognized that the most important thing are the team members that you have around you. There's not enough hours in the day for you to do everything. You have to build a team to help you execute, which has made me very conscious about those team members. So I find, if anything, I'm thinking about what's going on in their world and how can I help that, and also give them a really good, enjoyable work environment. So that's kind of usually what keeps me awake, either the baby or team members.
Yeah. Well, the baby will be fun, I guess. Well, not at night, but
Yeah, no,
it's kind of like allowances, right?
Well, that was one of the big drivers for trying to systemize the business, because I don't want to be the dad that works the 60-hour weeks and isn't there to, you know, spend time with the family. So that's been the big driver.
Hmm. Yeah, and that'll reward you over time, I'm sure. Yeah. So what do you see as the biggest challenges in the business? Is it the people thing and the staff?
Yeah, I think as we've been building the business, there have been different challenges at each step. I think no matter what stage you're at in your business career, there's different quality of challenges. Everything from, you know, before doing the systems thing, it was about what really was the bottleneck in the business, and there was so much work to be done. I think a constant challenge for me is, as I transition, is finding that work-life balance. That's a big one. I think a lot of entrepreneurs face that because, you know, it's important to live right now. You also have to work quite hard to get a business up and running, at least up to a certain point when it can start to work for itself. So finding that balance is still always a big challenge. For us personally, for the business, because we've got a very good system for generating leads, we're finding there's only a couple of the team members that are dealing with the leads as they come in. So we're finding if someone's ready to go right now, we can attend to them. But if it's someone, sometimes some leads need to be contacted numerous times over a long period. So that's an area that is a bit of a challenge for us, and something we've just actually recruited for. We've got someone to kind of step in and try and help solve that problem. But yeah, business is fun because there are just so many different challenges along the way. It's just part of the game.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about authority content, because this is a little pet horse of mine. Back in 1997 in the big corporate world, this was the first website I was involved in. We built a website, and I don't know where the term came from, but at that time, we talked about authority, an authority website, and the idea was to provide, because we're in a B2B game, but we felt that the consumer who bought the products where our products ended up in were making decisions that were bad decisions, and so therefore our high quality products were kind of not being used where they should have been used. And so the idea was to educate the consumer on what constituted high quality in the end products, and so that they would be more inclined to purchase the better quality products for particular applications. And that was the whole idea around that website. And it was a whole education thing, and you know, ended up starting to use videos and all kinds of stuff that was around at the time. We were doing search engine optimization using Yahoo because Google didn't exist in those days.
Yeah.
So it was fun, but I was fascinated that, and I've followed that philosophy all along with search engine optimization. I haven't gone down this sort of short-term fixes route that some people do. And I was fascinated that this term authority content now is really taken off everywhere.
Yeah, there you go, one of the early pioneers in this type of marketing. I mean, content marketing as an idea has been around for years and years. There used to be farmers who I can't even remember the name of the company. I remember researching it on Wikipedia, where they had a guide to sell farming equipment, but they were helping educate people on how to, you know, farm better. And it was a form of content marketing. Where I see what we call authority content is where content marketing meets really good SEO. Because there's a lot of great content marketers out there that just think if you build it, they will come, and they put out great quality content with no real thought as to how the message will get seen. And then on the flip side, there's a lot of SEOs that just put out very low quality content, nothing that's very engaging, SEO the heck out of it just for the sake of trying to game the search engines and get a backlink. That healthy spot, which it sounds like you had found those many years ago, that balance we call authority content, and it's about what's the best way that you can batch create high quality content, then optimize it, chop it up into bits, and then syndicate it around the web. Similar to you, we did it when I was in the stock market education niche, we took one of our early video courses, chopped it up into bits, loaded it into YouTube and transcribed it and turned it into articles. And it's this whole repurposing thing that's become quite popular now. We've got some sort of examples of when we were doing it, you know, I'd say very, very early 2000s. And now it's kind of like evolved into what it is. But we've really been pioneers in that space around the documentation of it and turning it into a system. Because that's, I suppose, where a big part of my expertise now. I think from a business perspective, I notice where I add the most value, typically speaking, is where I've got areas of expertise in multiple different industries, and where those industries where I can have those intersect and I can bring thinking from one industry to another, that's where I add the most value. So that systems thinking with the marketing thinking, and now the systems thinking with the you know, my understanding of business, that's really where we're starting to see the magic, where these sort of circles intercollide.
Yeah, all right, that's great. All right, well, you've been very generous with your time, so it might be time to move on to the buzz, as we call it, which is our innovation round designed to help our audience. So they're primarily innovators and leaders in their field, but they're always looking to learn, so hopefully we can give them some great tips from your experience. So I'm going to ask you five questions, and hopefully you'll have some really insightful answers for us.
Yeah,
no pressure. That's right. All right, so what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Biggest thing is to create space. Like, to be innovative, you have to be able to give your mind space to think. So I'm always thinking about how can I reduce the number of decisions that I have to make or think about or provide input on, which then gives me space to then start to think about solutions and be innovative.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think you said something to that effect at the recent seminar that I was at, and I made a note of that, and I said to be more creative, build systems to free your mind, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's great advice. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas and products?
The way that we do it is by solving problems that we have. I know sometimes people think in terms of think about your target market, think about the problems that they have, and then create a product or a service to solve that. We've almost done it as though we are the target market and we have the problem. So we look internally in the business, see areas that we're struggling with, and then try and innovate to solve our own problems. And then oftentimes by doing that, we find that other people face the same problems. And that's exactly how we've developed System Hub, because we couldn't find a solution, developed it, and now recognize that that we're not only solving our own problems, we're solving other businesses' problems who are at a similar sort of spot in their development.
Yeah, and that's a fascinating approach to take, because a lot of people, I mean, probably every business, you know, has problems that they solve for themselves, and I guess it comes back to, you know, if you document it, then all of a sudden you've actually got something that may be a product, because other people will have had that same problem.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right, so the next one, what's your favorite tool or system for improving productivity and allowing you to be more innovative? You can say System Hub.
Excellent. All right, systemhub.com. I'd either say System Hub, or I'd just say, I mean, a pen and a paper. Like, I'm big on my journals and getting things out of my mind and writing things down. I just find the more, it comes from that whole David Allen getting things done. Once you get them out of your head, it creates that space. So I think writing things out and just getting them out of your head is probably one of the best ways to innovate. And sometimes when you see things written down, the solution becomes a lot more obvious.
Yeah, that's right. Although I find what you were saying before, the vacuum principle takes part there. I'm often awake at nights thinking of various things, and then I'll write stuff down thinking if I can clear my mind, I'll get back to sleep. But what happens is that all of a sudden other thoughts take over.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. All right. What's the best way you know to keep a project or a client on track?
We manage things. There are a lot of different project management tools out there. We use one called Asana, but there's like Basecamp and Teamwork PM and Podio.
I think it doesn't really matter what platform that you use as long as you've got something in place. So I think some sort of project management tool, cloud-based, for your team would try and keep a project on track. And then for keeping the clients on track, a big thing that we do is weekly updates. I think it's something that we get a lot of feedback on from clients, and a lot of other companies have trouble trying to emulate and replicate it just because either they're not doing anything for the client, so it's hard for them to report on a weekly basis, or they just can't do it from an admin point of view. But we find letting the clients know what we're doing and keeping them updated is fantastic for keeping them engaged and sticking around and seeing the value that we offer.
Yeah, that's great advice. And also it probably takes away a little bit from being as reactive to clients coming back and saying, you know, can we get this done quickly or something? Because they know you're on top of things and it's moving forward and it's controlled and organized.
Yeah.
And in a system. All right. What's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
I think the biggest thing is to kind of build up your personal brand. Now, I know there's a point where you want the business to not be so tied into the individual, and that way you could effectively sell it and it's not built off the individual person's brand. But I think up to a point, to grow a business up to a certain size, I think you get a real benefit from adding in your personal branding. And even if you look at someone like a Richard Branson, where now he's got his individual business units and the Virgin brand, he's still very much a personality that's involved, and the DNA flows throughout all of the companies. So I think that's the best differentiator, because there's no one else quite like you in the way that you'll present yourself. So if you can head that route, it's a really effective way to differentiate yourself. Sometimes just a good way to differentiate yourself from the competition as well is just to deliver a great product and do what you do better than anyone else. That can be a really great differentiator.
That's right. And it's sad that it is that, but that's reality. Yeah. All right. Well, so what's the future for you then? So you've talked about a couple of books coming up. What about other things that you've got planned?
Yeah, I mean, two or three moves ahead. I'm imagining we've developed quite a large database of these processes and procedures that are directly applicable for any business. So where I'd like to head is in that sort of venture capital area, to be able to buy businesses, invest in businesses, and come in and very quickly add the value that I can add, which is the systems and the processes and the way for running a business. Where a lot of entrepreneurs, particularly when they first get started out, they'll just focus in on the sexy stuff, which might be the marketing. You know, the marketing's a really fun and interesting place to focus. But if you don't have your financial systems, if you don't have your recruitment systems, if you don't have your delivery systems, everything falls over. So I think for us, it'll be further honing those systems over the next couple of years and building out what we're doing with System Hub, and then ultimately finding great products and services that and businesses that just aren't run very well, and then coming in and kind of adding their missing ingredient.
Yeah, that certainly sounds really exciting. Now, one of the things that we often talk about in this podcast is the Internet of Things, and I guess there's a good segue here. If you have systems that you know, could potentially be automated through software or something, how do you see that fit in and with what's happening with the Internet of Things?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the huge trend with the Internet of Things, where particularly around this automation side of things, and I think we're already seeing it with marketplaces like the iTunes Store and the Android Store, and with, I mean, Apple TV's just launched their latest iteration where they've got a marketplace on the back end of it. And I think that's where you'll see most of the exciting innovation. It's having the technology there, but then having these all the people across the world thinking about new and exciting ways to use different pieces of equipment, and then programming them to do what they'd like in new and innovative ways that not even the creator of the equipment could have thought of. I think that's where the most exciting area comes, is where having an Internet of Things opens everything up and allows other things to talk to other things, and then with that creative thought of how to use them, I think we'll just see a pickup in innovation and that automation just by opening the landscape up a little bit.
Mm. All right, that's terrific, David. It's been really great. So let's get back to the competition. So we've said that David's very kindly offered a 6-month free trial of System Hub for somebody to actually look at, and it's got a lot of the systems that David has developed, and you've got the ability, of course, to set up your own systems within that. So what do we want people to do? To what would you like to learn from people to go to that competition, David?
Yeah, I've not given this too much thought, but thinking about it now, it'd be interesting maybe to get people to just write down what it would mean to them and what they would spend their time focusing on if they weren't in the day-to-day business, like the day-to-day operations. And we might say something like, I don't know, 100 words or 150 words. What would you spend your time on if you weren't doing the day-to-day operations inside your business? Because that's really what systems do. And so perhaps someone who's got a really big vision of what they'd like to be doing, and then we could kind of award the prize to the person who has a clear idea on what they do.
Okay, well, that sounds terrific. So, yeah, tell us, leave comments under the blog post and tell David what would it mean to you and your business and your life if you weren't stuck in the day-to-day stuff so much, and what you would do with that time that was freed up. And I'll get David to swing by in a few weeks' time and award that prize.
Perfect.
All right. So finally then, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field in innovation, productivity, and whatever specialty they're in?
Yeah, the one piece of advice I've got would be to just cultivate focus and become very good at having a single focus point at any one point in time. So if you're working on a particular something, a part of your business, try and turn a lot of the other areas off as you really focus in on that. So you might determine, okay, systems, they're really important for my business. Well, make that a focus for 3 months. You know, of course, other things are going to pop up, but it's very easy in the digital landscape to get distracted by different things, and you'll start to think that some things are more important than others. You need to find out what those few important big rocks are and spend the right focus on those.
Yeah, that's great advice. So focus on what you think is most important, and of course that means you have to identify what is most important and what's going to be most valuable for your business right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, David, thank you for your time today and all the insights you've shared us. It's been really great. Where can people reach out to you and say thank you?
Yeah. Probably the best thing would be on Twitter. If you went to twitter.com/ David Jennen, so D-A-V-I-D, and then my surname, J-E-N-Y-N-S. Or you can just check out some of our different websites like systemhub.com or melbourneseoservices.com. They're probably good ways to see what we're up to.
All right, and we'll have links to all of those pages underneath the blog post as well.
Perfect.
And finally, and I always ask guests this, who would you like me to interview on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
I think it would be great if you could get someone like Michael Gerber. And I know we're talking about systems, and he's kind of like the grandfather of systemization with his book The E-Myth and The E-Myth Revisited. So if you could get him on, I think he'd provide some really good insights and hopefully get some more people excited by the idea of getting systems in their business.
Yeah, that would be an awesome guest. All right, well, Michael Gerber, you're probably not listening to this, but keep an eye on your inbox, courtesy of David Jennens. We'll be coming to invite you to an episode of the Innova Buzz podcast.
And we'll Perfect.
See how we can do that. Thanks a lot, David. So, yeah, again, thanks for sharing your time and your insights with us today. It's been really fascinating talking to you and learning a lot more about your background and history and how you've taken the idea of systems to build a lot of different businesses that might on the surface seem unrelated but are actually quite closely related. I've really enjoyed it today and I've learned a lot, and all the best for the future, and we'll keep in touch obviously through the System Hub work and also other stuff, hopefully.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you, Jürgen. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, David. Well, I hope you enjoyed meeting David as much as I enjoyed interviewing him. I hope also that David's story and journey has highlighted the importance of systems and processes for you, and perhaps inspired you to look closely at your own systems and processes to find out if they are in good shape, or if not, where are the gaps and what you can do about it. As David said, having good systems and processes in place give you, the business owner, creative space to work on the business. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/David Jennings. That is DavidJennings. All lowercase or one word, innovabiz.com.au/David Jennings. There we'll have all the links and everything that we spoke about in this episode along with the show notes. Now don't forget, leave your comments and tell us what it would mean to you and your business and your life, in fact, if you weren't stuck in the day-to-day stuff of your business so much. And what would you do with the time that was freed up by having great systems and processes in place? I'll get David to swing by in a few weeks' time and award the prize. David suggested I interview Michael Gerber, the author of The E-Myth, on a future podcast. Now, Michael would be a fantastic guest because, as David said, he's kind of the grandfather of systems and processes. And if you haven't read The E-Myth, I strongly suggest that you do. So, Michael, keep your eye on your inbox for an invitation from me for the InnovaBuzz podcast courtesy of David Jennings. Thank you to my audience for listening to the InnovaBuzz podcast. We'd love you to review this podcast because reviews certainly help us get found more easily, and your feedback helps us to improve what we do. You can review us at iTunes or Stitcher, and while you're there, please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.